welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. We're recording right now at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. Show number 120, and it's May 17th, the year's 2005. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all, of course, designed with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
That's right, Mr. Time. We have to keep it on topic here, don't we?
Got to keep it going.
We got to do that.
Don Patterson is on assignment this week. My name is Tom Houston, but here he is, folks. The guy that started it all, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman
Thank
Show.
Thank you so much.
Phil Parr.
Don Patterson is on assignment.
He's on assignment, yes.
I think he's taken a leave of absence, if the truth were absolutely known.
He's on a leave of misinformed.
Absence.
I'm sorry.
I don't know where he is. We don't know if he's coming back or not. We hope he does. Though we miss him. We'd like to have him back. Maybe he'll decide to come back. Just kind of looks at an empty chair over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll save his microphone.
Save his mic, save his chair, save everything. All right. We could do that. It's the least we could do. Let me ask you this. The
sure.
final answer there to your right.
To my right?
Uh-huh. Just right to your right. Right at the top of that rack to your right.
Okay.
It's not in bypass, is it?
Let's see.
See if it is. See if it's in bypass. I may have forgotten it. Wish you could see it.
Yes.
I think it's in bypass. That's what
said the blind handyman.
As he picked up his hammer and saw.
Is it to the far right here?
It's not completely to the right. It's the second one from the right.
Second
button from the right. Did you just push something?
I just pushed something. How's
all right,
that?
Well, do it there. They're right there. Right there.
Okay.
So it wasn't in bypass.
No.
Okay. All right. Scared me. There's a technical thing here. Tim Cummings will appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yes, he will.
I talked to that boy 2 hours on the phone Sunday night. What the hell we talked about? We did a little talking. Talked about audio. Tim's into microphones, and we got to. So you're gonna take the great mic off.
Yeah.
That we did and put it up where anybody can go download it. Right.
Yeah. Sure. Anyone that wants to.
To hear all these silly mics.
Hell, we could podcast the mic off. Wouldn't be a deal, wouldn't it?
We really could.
We really could.
I took 11 different microphones at just 0 dB, no equalization on any of them, and tested them just to see which one we all thought was best. This is back when Conley was down here a couple, 3 weeks ago, and we all had different opinions on the... Actually, you and Conley were pretty...
We were pretty close. But pretty we need close. Some more. Actually, we need some more folks to write in and...
So we're going to put this up on one of these sites where you can... You'll put it on the list.
Yeah.
So that anybody could go up and download it as an MP3 file and listen to it and give us their opinion.
Give us your opinion. And we'll upload it somewhere. We'll let you know on the list.
And you could give us your opinion.
Which number? Vote by number.
That's what you
right.
do. Right. So, but don't be talking about those robots at Walmart anymore. We're sick of that.
Yeah, that subject.
God almighty. There were enough comments on that. I some guys liked them, and some. I noticed the guy at Smith Kettlewell didn't. He didn't care for it. I guess because it wasn't his idea. You wouldn't think that.
Who started it? I'm just curious.
So, I don't know who.
I don't know. Someone sent an article.
Oh,
originally,
okay.
I think about Walmart trying to get this.
They're
thing
testing
going.
Robots for blind people to use. To help you shop at Walmart, but they don't have voice recognition. They had some kind of a damn braille display.
Yeah, some damn kind of thing. Well, I'm like someone said on the list, you know, I have to agree with this. Me, myself, I'd rather have some nice young lady to walk around, you know, and
me too.
To walk around the store with than some damned old robot.
So, I mean, it just...
I don't know how many
He didn't mean that, Mary.
Yes, she did.
Oh, but I did.
I don't know how many young ladies aren't nice, so I think you're all nice, you know. I had two shop at Walmart. They ought to furnish their blind with a young. Of course, I guess blind girls would want some young guy.
Yeah, probably.
Around Walmart. But anyway, it'll be an interesting concept, and they're testing it. You got to admit this, and we won't talk about this all day. You got to admit this. They realize, as does nobody else, that there are 7 million of us.
It's a tremendous
market that marketing to blind people is and like, you know, we've talked about wanting a channel on Dish Network or DirecTV or something like that. No, none of those people have realized the market potential of the blind. Whereas Walmart, I don't like Walmart. They're a cheap company. They don't insure their, they don't offer insurance to most of their employees, and we end up paying their medical bills.
That's why they're building robots.
That's why they've got their money to build robots.
That's right.
I suppose. Anyway, I admire them for trying. All right, what else? Email? Are we ready for email?
Well, we can be, yeah.
All right, Tommy.
Okay, it says, "Hi, all. I got a little project that I'm thinking about taking on, and trust me, I'm a newbie when it comes to the whole handyman thing.
I saw this.
Any advice, or if you can point me to a blind handyman show where they did this, would be much appreciated. I have a set of wood shelves built into the wall in my garage. They're pretty wide and deep, about chest level. Almost like a workbench. This house was built in the 40s, and the garage is pretty old also. It's separate from the house. I would like to refinish or paint the work area. The main goal is to give them more of a smooth and glossy feel, if you know what I mean. What do I need, and how do I do something like this? Most of the work area on top feels pretty rugged and rough. Would I be better pulling it all out and starting over? That would be definitely more work than I'm willing to do."
Yeah.
Thanks for the feedback in advance, Sean.
You could get into a lot of work, though, trying to smooth and sand all that down to...
You know, depending on how deep they are and depending on how wide they are, I'd go to Lowe's and buy a new piece of shelving material, cut it the right length, and just lay it on top of the old one that you want to use as a workbench. Because that's the only one you want smooth. The rest of them are going to be just storage, I guess, right?
Yeah, the rest should be. Sounds like they're going to be storage.
So just get a nice piece of what they call it shelving material. I'm going to talk about it. I'm fixing to build an effects rack out of some shelving material. It's a foot wide and 8 feet long, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, remember we built those shelves in my store when we first built this building?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so there, you know, I just get a piece of shelving material, cut it the right length, and lay it on top of the rough shelf that you're going to use as a workbench, and tack it down. That'll be smooth enough. You might...
unless you have a belt sander. I mean, that'd be a pain in the neck to get that smooth down and to get ready, to try to get the paint or whatever finish you want to put on it. And we've talked about painting and staining and different things on the list from time to time. But
well, of course, the ideal deal would be covered with Formica, but I don't know. We've never had any blind person that's ever said they could. Putting Formica down is not done like you think it is.
Yeah, we need to, if someone does that, we sure need to talk to you. We need you to write us, and we need to get you on the show.
But, I mean, it's not like Formica. You don't just lay it up there and glue it down.
That's right.
Because the glue will dry quick. The thing is, you can't get it in position quick enough before the glue dries. That's what you can't do, and you'll end up with it a little off. So they put something under it and then glue it down and then pull this thing out real quick to do the Formica. But the ideal deal would be to put Formica on it. And, you know, I'll bet you, depending on the size of thing you want, I'll bet you could find a Formica-faced board at Lowe's. A shelf with Formica on it.
I bet you could.
You think you could?
What do you think? I bet you could.
Well, I know when I worked for Plastic Clad Corporation in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yep.
Back years and years ago, they had a rolling machine type thing where they did the preformed countertops.
Yep.
Where you had the 4-inch backsplash and the little nose.
Yep.
They called it a no-drip nose, where it would come up and water wouldn't roll off in the floor.
Yep.
And they would press this on. They had an adhesive, of course. And it would go through this thing like the old-timey washing machine ringers and really press it down. And and it was heated at the same time where it would form it.
Make that bend?
To the wood, yes.
Okay, but then they had a way of trimming the sides where it'd all be nice and smooth.
And they would, it would be routed, of course. They would put the end caps on and then router all the way around it, and it gave it a real nice look.
And that was a preformed, pre-made countertop.
Yeah, they call them post-formed countertops.
That's what he needs.
That's
what he needs.
And you can buy those at Lowe's.
Sure,
I know that.
Oh, yeah, or the self-edge, because those are preformed where they roll it, the backsplash and the nose.
Oh, sure.
But they have the self-edge where it's just a flat piece of wood that has the edging on it and everything.
And lay it up there and either wood glue it down with just plain old wood glue or tack it down with some little nails or something. And because the only one you want really smooth is the one you're going to be, the one you're going to try to be working on. Or another idea, I saw a guy, and it may have been at your house, I saw a guy that had a work table that had a nice piece of carpet on it.
Yeah, now that was me. I had I used it for my amateur radio table, in fact, for electronics.
It had a piece of carpet on it.
Nice, clean carpet on top, and it made a great electronics table.
Yeah, to lay your arms on, you know.
Yeah.
And he just put a piece of carpet. So you might go to a carpet dealer and find a piece of carpet remnant and tack it down on you.
Depending on what kind of work you wanted to do.
Depending on what you wanted to do.
Go by Curiosity Railroad Salvage.
Yeah. That's where I'd go. He owes us money, but...
Oh.
Sure, yeah.
I didn't bring that up. No.
Need to bring it. James Loomer. I guess he's still in business, right?
I guess so. I don't know if old James is still around or not. I believe he's there.
He always referred to me as that blind SOB.
I was the crippled one.
Yeah.
SOB.
He didn't... James was a sort of rather tactless fellow, but most of you won't meet him.
He had his handicaps.
Didn't he?
He did. Go ahead, Tommy.
All right. We have a driveway edged by 3 to 4 foot cement walls that gives it shade year-round. Being here in the Northwest, we get the most beautiful crop of moss covering this unused driveway. Now, we get basic black with white, yellow, and brown, and some green.
Yep.
I love it. Feels like teddy bear to the toes. But we're in the midst of a drought, and when the May rain stopped, we'll likely have a very dry summer. So when the moss dies, is there some kind of a stiff broom-type brush that will take the dead moss off the drive, or will I need to pressure wash if I want to get rid of it? And before I get all sorts of help, no, I don't want to kill the moss. I like it much better than the cement. This comes from Kathy.
Don't want to kill it, but want to get it off.
I don't know. Some kind of push broom,
Before you said that, I was thinking about the 18-inch wide or so swimming pool brush that you used to brush a swimming pool
would
with.
Work.
To put on a...
Would probably work.
And it would clean like a lot at one time, but if you don't want to kill our pressure washer, but if you don't want to kill the moss...
Yeah, the pressure washer is the expensive way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
We know that. We found that out, didn't we? That son of a gun. George washed the porch and, of course, took some of the stain off the house. Now, it looks, you know, we're going to restain it anyway, but I wasn't ready for it to come off.
If you turn those up in a high enough pressure, I've heard they can take off some of your wood even.
It will put out some pressure. I don't know how many PSI or whatever they measured. But, I just get one of those, a swimming pool brush, or just a big old push broom
would be the cheapest way to.
It would be the cheapest way, just a push broom and push downhill. Obviously, the driveway probably slants downhill.
Yeah.
This is Kathy Seven Williams?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Whose husband I did an interview with, who is...
You did.
He'll think of some way, dude. I really liked him. A very creative guy just lived off the seat of his pants all his life. And he's totally blind as we are, and just...
was a good interview.
No compunction about quitting a job or telling guys to go to hell. I really liked it. Anyway, big stiff, big old yard broom like those blind guys used to sell when they walked door to door.
The big ones, the big yard brooms?
Yes, sir. We had the big yard brooms.
Because
also.
I visualize that as the regular brooms that you'd sweep the floor with way back when, before vacuum cleaners came along real big.
Well, we had those, but we also had in every load you could carry a big yard broom, and the head was reversible. I don't know why it was reversible. I guess if you pushed the bristles one way, then you could put the handle on the other side and push them the other way.
Oh, okay.
We always carried one of those, big old tall. Of course, then there was a day I walked up to the door and lit a cigarette and set the whole load of brooms on fire.
Oh, man.
Standing there at the door with the...
I'm just curious.
The big load of brooms, moss on fire.
What did you charge for a broom?
$1.85.
$1.85. What about the big brush-type broom?
They were $3.95, I think almost $4. Those big push brooms.
That was a lot of
money. That's been a while ago.
Mops were $1.35. Ironing board covers were $1.85 a piece, same as brooms. We had lint brushes. I don't know if blind people do that anymore?
I don't know.
It was a perfectly legitimate occupation for blind.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was.
And I know guys that made, I hated it. I hated every stinking lousy minute of it. But I know blind guys that made their livelihood all their lives doing that, selling
That was my next question. Did anyone ever make any money doing that?
I know a guy named Wilmer Sims, and I think Wilmer is still alive, who lived in Houston, Texas, and Wilmer and Margie. And Wilmer had customers that he'd go service. They'd call him when they needed a broom or when they needed dish rags or mops or whatever. And he'd go take them whatever they wanted. And Wilmer was not the most social person in the world, but he would not take no for an answer. When he went to the door, you were gonna buy something, or you were gonna tell him to get off your property. I mean, he had no compunction about standing there till she bought something. Me, I just, you know, if you don't want to buy it, to hell with you. I don't want to talk to you.
You don't want to buy a broom today, do you, lady?
That was about me. You wouldn't want to buy a broom today, lady. You know, I wouldn't, you know. And so I considered myself more of a goodwill ambassador than anything else. It was pathetic. When I learned to play that electric bass, that was the end of that.
Any idea why a breaker needs to be reset each time I now turn the heat up?
Yep.
The furnace runs fine once the breaker is reset.
Yep.
Any ideas on that, guys?
Yep. It's been kicked so many times, it's worn out. Change the breaker. Pull it out and change it.
Just get a new breaker.
I've heard that.
It's been kicked so many times that it's weak now, and it won't hold. Or the pressure on the breaker is when the heater starts, when it comes on. But I'd just change the breaker. If it was me, if they've been kicked, I can't remember how many times. Somebody told me. We'll call Leonard Peterson. He'd know. If they've been kicked so many times, they get weak and they won't hold anymore. But they're easy to. Breakers are. You think you're up against a big something changing a breaker. You're not. They just pull out and push back in, don't they, Donald Joe?
Yes. Take the cover off the box it's just a matter of unplugging the.
You're unplugging the breaker, and then you're plugging in a new one, and there's nothing to it, period.
And turn off that main breaker first.
I'd
reach up there and flip the big guy before I did anything else. But they're easy enough to change. Your box will be, there aren't but two or three manufacturers. Chances are it'll be a square D box. Just pull the breaker out. Put the new one in, turn everything on, and I bet that won't happen anymore.
I bet it won't either.
Do I hear music?
You do.
All right, well, let's go to our guest, who is, his name is Tony? Is that
Anthony.
Right? Anthony.
Anthony Aluminum Products.
Aluminum Products, and he sells screens and all kinds of
patio covers and all kind of good things.
So we're going to find out about all that kind of thing. He's a personal friend of Dale Campbell's, but we don't hold that against him.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Back in a minute with more of our exciting Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
Love made its incision. Maybe I'm your victim. Oh, no. Lately, I'm inclined to tell. I've made my decision.
Are you on the Blind Like Me list?
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Know about the Blind Handyman List, sir?
Thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right, we're back in after the break, and we are talking with Tony today, Tony Anthony. How are you doing today, Tony?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, man, doing good. Good to have you here on the show with us today.
Thank you.
Now, well, I tell you what, Tony Anthony was the name of my barber growing up. He really was.
Okay, well, let me correct you.
Okay. Correct us. We need it.
Anthony is my first name, and okay. Tony is just short for Anthony.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
And the name of my company is A. Anthony Aluminum, and so people make that mistake all the time. And actually, my last name is Dando. It's D-A-N-D-O.
Well, we won't worry about that. What's the name of your company again?
It's A. Anthony Aluminum Products.
A. Anthony Aluminum Products.
That's right.
A. Anthony. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, we're actually here in Pearland, and we service Pearland, Friendswood, Clear Lake, Alvin, and all the little areas around Pearland.
All right. Now, tell us exactly what you do. What is its main function?
Well, actually, we build aluminum and steel patio covers, carports. We do replacement windows, and we do an awful big business of solar screens. Solar screens are full screens that are made to go over someone's existing windows, and they're made to conserve energy. They actually refract the sunlight, and they work real great, and we do an awful big business with solar screens.
Now, do you build these solar screens, or do you buy them, or how do you custom make those, or what?
Yes, sir. They are all custom made. Yeah, we actually come out to the house. We measure the windows. We give the people an estimate, and then we and actually for years and years I had my own screen shop for, gosh, probably about 14 or 15 years, and then I decided. About 8 years ago, actually, there was two companies here in Houston that made window screens wholesale, and you, of course, had to be set up with them as a dealer.
Uh-huh.
And I actually bought materials from them when I made my own screens, when I had my own screen shop. And then I just decided, like I said, about 10 years ago that, you know, everything just became so complicated with the cost of insurance and the shop lease was going up and this and that. I just decided that it would be easier to have someone else make them, me actually just go measure them and then go back and install them.
So it would be easier to contract the manufacturing of the screens to somebody who is set up to do that and who does not only screens for you but for other dealers.
That's correct. And they are really a big, big company, and there's a lot of people like myself in the solar screen business. There's a lot of people that do it part-time. They're firemen or policemen, and they do it on a part-time basis. But what it does for my business is that it's even though it's a big part of my business, when we do the patios and the glass rooms and the carports and all of that stuff and the windows, but the window screens, it's a real neat business. You basically just go out one time, you measure, you go back, install them, and there's no moving parts on them, so nothing breaks. And you know, usually if you do a home for someone, they'll recommend you to someone else, and it just sort of snowballs, and it's just a great little business to have.
So it's not like being a plumber. Like if you're a plumber and you do some plumbing job for somebody and they call you 3 hours later and say, "Hey, my sink is leaking. You need to," you know.
Yeah.
Right.
I've been in the radio business all my life, and you'd go to the radio station at night and you'd do some night's work. You'd convert the radio station to stereo, and at 7:15 the next morning the guy would call and say the right channel isn't working. Well,
right.
But with a screen, with a window screen, there, like you said, there are no moving parts.
Right, so, and they really work. I mean, we tell people that if we generally, I mean, this is sort of my own thing, but
uh-huh.
You know, unless a window has sun exposure and it creates a problem for the area that window is in, and if it's under a shade tree or the people have a shady yard, there's no need for solar screens. But there are so many houses in new subdivisions that don't even have trees. They're upstairs. Those windows are the windows that are exposed to the west, and they get the sun from 12 o'clock, you know, on till now, 9 o'clock at night. Those are the windows that really need the screens. So those screens, when you put them on, we tell people that if you're at work and this is a problem area of your home, it's hard for you to keep it cool or to get it cool once you get home, you'll feel a comfort level difference the minute you walk into the house.
Oh, yeah.
And most people do. You know, they highly confirm what I tell them.
Yeah.
They're sort of self-sellers, you know. They work that good.
They sure do. When we had a house here, the last house we lived in here in Lufkin, in fact, had it faced the west. Never again. But anyway, we pretty soon after we moved into the house, we bought some solar screens, and, man, it made a big difference quickly.
Right.
So just let me ask you this. Now, they keep sunlight from coming in. Do they work the other way? Would they keep light from coming out of the house also?
Well, you know, actually, when the sun is shining directly on that window,
uh-huh.
Let's say it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and the sun's just uh-huh. beating down on that window, you can almost stand right inside the glass with your nose pressed up against the window,
uh-huh.
and someone standing outside the window, they don't even know you're there. It refracts that much sunlight.
That's right.
But, really?
Yes. And at nighttime, people get a false sense of security because they do add a certain amount of security because it lets you be able to do that during the day. Like if someone approaches your front door and you have windows and you can stand inside the window, look and see who it is, and, you know, without fear of opening the door or whatever the case may be. But at nighttime, people forget then to close their blinds because at nighttime when the light's inside the house, people passing by can actually get a real good view of the inside of the house. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you can see out through them much better than they can see in through them.
Absolutely. During the daytime.
Yeah.
Okay, during the daytime.
Yeah, nighttime it's totally the opposite.
Nighttime it would be absolutely the opposite, wouldn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yes.
Would be completely the opposite. They'd be able to see in better than you could see out.
That's correct. That's correct.
Oh, okay.
And the nice thing about solar screens is that when we tell people that, well, that the first question usually people will ask us if it's going to make their house dark. And I'm sure it does make your home a little bit darker, but in most cases where people have always kept the blinds drawn or the shades drawn or whatever uh-huh. the case may be, now they can open up their house a little bit. And the reason that it still works is because what you're really doing with that solar screen is just planting a big shade tree outside the window.
Uh-huh.
It keeps the sun off of it, so it keeps the glass from getting hot. And then that heat from the glass doesn't radiate into the house. And that's as simple.
Okay.
That's just as simply how they work.
That's as good as an explanation as you could come up with, isn't it?
Right, right.
Now, the three windows I'm thinking of in my den... that I guess would face west that the sun just pours in the afternoon.
Oh, they would help a lot.
And I've got shades that I keep down. They are kind of like they have a half screen at the bottom. The window comes down halfway, and then there's a little, I guess it would be a 3x3 foot screen at the bottom. I'd have to tint the top part of that window. Is that right or not?
Well, the tint is different than the solar screen. Tint you apply usually to the inside of the glass.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a film, just like if you have tinted automobile glass.
Uh-huh.
And that really doesn't act like a solar screen, because the solar screen, what we do is we take your half screen off, and then we make a full screen that covers the whole the whole window from top to bottom. And so what it does, like I said before, it shades the glass, it keeps it cool, and so then the heat, if it was tinted, it would still get hot from the sun, but by putting the shade or the screen on the outside of the glass, then it keeps the glass from absorbing the heat all day, and then that heat does not radiate then into the room.
So you would put me a full screen on this window instead of a half screen.
Right, that's correct.
And you would fix something for it to attach to, some little hooks on the frame or something that it would attach to?
Well, sometimes windows have what we call full screen tracks, which is another track for the full screen to fit into.
Okay, well, this doesn't. These don't.
You sure?
I'm not sure of it. I'm sure of who I am, and that'd be about as far as I'd go. And I'm not even sure of that.
Well, sometimes they do, they don't.
Okay.
And if they don't, we just simply attach them with screws.
You make a screen, or you attach them with screws, or make a track, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
and then there's also different degrees of the solar screen. They start out at what we call 65%. Which refracts 65% of the sunlight, and then it goes all the way up to 90. And the most common and the most, the one that we sell the very most of is what we call an 80%.
Uh-huh.
And all the screen that we sell is made by a company called Pfeiffer, which is the largest manufacturer of that type of material that there is in the world. And it comes with a 10-year warranty, comes in different colors. However, the most popular colors that we sell is either charcoal or dark brown. Those are the two most popular colors.
Now, I've got sun pumping in these windows in the afternoon, starting at about 4 o'clock until the sun goes down. Now, and I keep the shades. I don't have blinds. I just have pull-down shades that I keep down. Will I be able to leave those up, those shades?
Yes, actually, you will.
I will. In other words, you can keep that much heat out of my house.
That's correct.
Because that's what I want to do, is keep that keep that heat out so the air conditioner will be more efficient. That's my, of course, being blind, I don't give a damn about the sunlight.
Right. Well, that's why I mentioned the comfort level, because you can actually feel the comfort level difference in that particular room.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does refract that much sunlight off those windows. And the windows, whether they're double insulated, whether they're tinted, if they're just old single pane windows, which most all of us have in our homes, unless you put that covering over the window, that solar screen, there's no way to keep the sun off the window. So by doing that, it allows you to open up the house a little bit. That's why I tell people you're really not going to make your house much darker, because you're used to having the blinds drawn all the time
to keep the sun out. Now, these are double insulated windows, but this, are you saying to me that this would be better for me than tinting these windows?
Oh, absolutely better. Yes.
Really?
Yes, and even though we don't tint windows, I'm not just saying that because we're not in the window tinting business. For one thing, that when companies come out and tint windows, it's certainly not an inexpensive thing.
It isn't.
And then it does nothing at all to keep the glass from absorbing the heat. It basically, all the tint does is it cuts down on the glare in your home.
Okay.
It's like tinted glass in an automobile. You know, if you leave someone exposed in the car locked in, a child or a dog or you know, they, you hear that all the time on the news where people, yeah, you know, where, so it does do nothing for heat at all.
Now, these are, as far as I know, standard windows. They're not any bigger than any others or any smaller. They're about standard. Just give me a ballpark figure on doing these three windows for me.
Well, it, basically, a good rule of thumb to figure is anywhere from $40 an opening to $50 an opening. They're usually no more than that.
So,
that's from the 70% cloth all the way through the 80% cloth.
And the 90% would be more?
A little bit more. Not very much. And believe it or not, the 90% is not a real popular screen because it does border on the point of making the house actually darker.
Dark, yeah.
Yes. And more people complain about not being able to see through the screens as well. So that's why the 80% is the most popular.
The best seller.
But these happen to face my swimming pool, but in the daytime I wouldn't have any sun coming in, but the guy could sit there at the table and still look out. He'd still be
You're
able
right.
to see out.
Absolutely.
Which is
Absolutely.
All we'd care about. So for $150 I could do it, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, come on up.
And you live in Lufkin.
I live in Lufkin. Might as well ride up here. I'm a little out of your territory, out of range. I used to play at a club on Telephone Road at 9441 Telephone Road. It's called the Western Club.
Okay.
And we had a guy that played fiddle with my band that was lived in Pearland.
Okay.
And so, of course, we were close enough. We called ourselves, we were just a little country band, and we played Buck Owens and Merle Haggard and all that old stuff. We called ourselves the Pearland Symphony Orchestra.
Really?
Yeah. That's because I lived out there in what's called Sun Valley, right off Edgebrook.
Okay.
You know exactly where I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do.
I lived there for a long time, for about 10 years. This was, you're not old enough to remember it. This was back in the 60s and 70s.
Well, I'm 61.
Are you now?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I'm 64.
Okay. So
are you?
I had a very good friend that used to play at the old Breezeway Club
uh-huh.
on the Gulf Freeway. Do you remember that club?
You mean Hamburger Burning Ray Harrison, the Hamburger Burning King of the Gulf Freeway? I remember Ray Harrison quite well. I played for him. He fired me.
I'll be darned.
Now, who was your friend that played there?
Dave Edge.
I know Dave Edge quite well.
Yeah.
I know Dave Edge quite well. I was thinking that I had heard that Dave Edge had moved to Shepherd, Texas. Do you still keep up with him?
No, sir, I don't. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you if the man is still playing music or is still in the
or even still alive, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I've totally lost contact with him, but
yeah.
At the time I was a pretty young guy. I was in my early 20s, and we frequented the Breezeway Club,
yeah.
And we became really good friends with Dave. He was just a really nice guy.
Dave was a nice fellow, and he played there off and on different times. And those hamburgers were as good as I've ever had.
It was a great place to go. It was a lot of fun back in those days.
And they had a crowd. They had a good crowd. Sometimes it was an older crowd. And the reason I went to work for Ray Harrison out there, and he didn't like me because he wanted a waltz about every fourth or fifth or sixth song. He wanted a waltz. And I told him, I play what I want to play. And he said, well, no, you don't, big boy. You don't work here for me no more. But I would have, and I was on the, you may remember, I was a bass player on the Utah Carl television show for 6 or 8 years. Yeah.
Wow, I do remember that.
I thought you would. You're about the right age. You've probably danced, we've probably crossed paths at one time or another. If you're 61, I'm 64.
Do you recall a disc jockey that was pretty popular here back in those days, Arch Yancey?
Well, yes, matter of fact, I do. I talked to Arch 3 or 4 years ago. A friend of mine named Harvey Thompson, or he was known as Harvey T when he worked at Kick, passed away about 4 years ago, and Arch and I went to the funeral. And I met Arch's. Arch, believe it or not, I think is driving a hotshot truck right now.
Really? Well,
yeah.
I met Arch. I remodeled the exterior of his home. He lives in Alvin,
yes.
Or did at the time. and he lived in a historical type home.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only, I think there was only five or six colors that we could choose for the exterior siding.
Mm-hmm.
And I sided the exterior of his home, and we worked about 2 weeks on his house doing all that. And it was a great experience. He was just a real nice guy, and his wife was a lovely person to work for. And I really enjoyed meeting and working for him, because I had heard him so many years on the radio.
Yeah.
That it was really, really sort of a thrill to meet him. So.
Arch is a very gentle, very nice person. That was back during the days of Bill Bailey and Joe Ladd and Arch Ensie, where the
right,
disc jockeys
right.
at Kick. And I was working at the radio station in Texas City.
I see.
At KTLW, down with Tater Pete Hunter and all that bunch down there. It's been a long time ago, hasn't it?
Huh? Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right. Let's get before we leave you. You do patio covers. You do these screens, solar screens. You do. Do you do gutters? You don't do gutters, do you?
No, sir. I don't do gutters. I do patio covers, solar screens. We do replacement windows. That's where we actually go in, take the old broken, squeaky windows out, and install uh-huh. the brand new double insulated windows. Now they have a new energy code that they have to meet, so they have to have a certain criteria that they have to meet.
Yeah.
We don't do a lot of glass rooms. I've sort of weaned myself away from that business, but I do an awful lot of carports because I do a lot of work in the rural areas.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so basically patio covers, carports, glass, the replacement windows, and then the solar screen.
Are you doing, you said that you'd quit manufacturing screens. Are you doing a lot of work yourself nowadays, or you got a crew?
Well, you know, believe it or not, I went in business in 1974. I worked
uh-huh.
for a company that is basically does the same thing that I do now.
Uh-huh.
And I was just a salesman, but my dad was a home builder, so I'd always worked with my hands. So.
Uh-huh.
I decided in 1974 that I just wanted to go in business for myself, and I've always been the type of person that I actually do all the work myself. I can't pour concrete, so I have a concrete man, and I don't do electrical, so I have someone that does that that's qualified.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually still build all the patio covers myself. I install all the screens. I have two really nice guys that work with me. But I'm on every job, and I actually still do the work. And I really like it that way because, you know, whatever I tell the person, it's the way it's going to be when I get out there. And they don't have any miscommunication because he said, you know, and then it didn't come to fruition. And so I like it that way. And, you know, if God willing, as long as I'm able to maintain my health to keep doing that, well, that's, you know, I just enjoy it. I enjoy that part of it more than anything else that I do.
So you not only liaison with the customer, but you are there when the job is done and usually do the job yourself.
You're absolutely right. The helpers that I have are
great. Yeah.
Two guys, but they actually, I work and they help me, and so I don't subcontract out my work at all.
Well, I've never met you, but I'm looking forward to meeting you sometime.
Well, thank you. I'd love to meet you guys.
I'm sure
enjoyed talking with y'all.
I'm sure you've given up drinking years ago, but we'll sit down and force down a Bud Light if we have to.
How about
that? Sounds great.
If we're forced to, we will.
Yeah,
we'll, we'll get that big old tall Campbell boy to join us and tell us a story or two.
He's a really nice guy. Really, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed meeting him.
He's got too much energy for me. He wears me out just talking to him.
He's a very nice guy.
Give us your phone number where we could find you.
Okay, well, I'm listed in the phone book as A. Anthony Aluminum Products.
A. Anthony Aluminum Products.
Yes, sir. And
right.
My phone number, I have three phone numbers, but the best one, or the one that seems to be most centrally located, is
281-648-9777. 248-9777, prefix 281.
Yes, sir.
But A. Anthony Aluminum Products. That's easy enough.
And everybody remembers Tony. So
A. Anthony Aluminum Products. That's the best way to find you if you can't find the phone number. And this fellow come do the work himself.
That's yeah. Right.
Enjoyed visiting with you, Tony.
Thank y'all.
And
thank
we'll,
you for having me.
Thank you,
we'll,
Tony.
We'll talk to you on down the line. More of the Blind Handyman Show in just a minute. Hang on. Be right back.
Are you on the Blind Like Me list?
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Know about the Blind Handyman List, sir?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
You are listening to the Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Well, I guess there'll never be a question as to who to go to anymore because there are two breaks and two of us.
That's right.
You go to Sean one and you go to me on the other. Patterson has taken a leave of...
On assignment, isn't he?
No, he's on assignment. On assignment. I don't know what he is. Yeah. I've got an assignment for him. We miss him. I don't know why he decided to bail out on us, but we're going to. I don't know exactly what we're going to do, but we're going to do a few by ourselves for a while. And if anybody has any suggestions as to somebody that would like to be a guest host on this show, well, give us a call.
That's right.
We'll be happy to. Be nice to have. Like I said the other day, it would be nice to have a lady, a girl who. Who knew from handyman stuff.
A different twist on matters.
Knew at least as much as I do. Which yeah. Yeah. What were you going to say, Don, about screens?
No, I was going to... Tony, great guest there, talking about the solar screens. I was just going to say, from personal experience, I know that these screens, if you have a heat sun problem, they really do work. But also, I needed to add one more thing that we were talking about keeping out all the heat from the sun, or most of the heat anyway.
Yeah.
One thing we did is in the winter, we just took the solar screen off of the window, the frame and all, frame, screen and all, and let the sunlight come in, of course, in the winter, and then you'd regain that heat, which you'd probably want, you know, to save a few dollars on your heating bill in the winter. So that's the other nice thing about these screens is being able to... use them or not use them, depending on the time of year that you...
That's a thought.
Yeah, sometimes that sun would come in handy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
I guess those windows of mine face west, so south would be the direction we thought it was.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because sun just, if you don't keep those, it just pours in those windows.
For those three windows, man, it'd be, and you need the full screen, but it'd be the thing.
I do need a full screen, so that's the thing to have. Now, you were going to talk about something. You had something you were...
Just
mention.
This won't take long, but...
What was it?
I just wondered how many folks out there have the little pump-up sprayers that they'll hold maybe... you mix the spray in the water, I don't know, a gallon or two.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think you can buy different sizes.
You can
buy
different sizes,
1 gallon,
yeah.
2 gallon, whatever.
The exterminators, they probably have the expensive, probably stainless steel or metal ones. The one the one I have is plastic, hard plastic, and it does the same thing. But it'll hold up to 2 gallons. Anyway, you put your spray mix, you mix it with water, and you have the little pump on top. You pump it up. Problem being is... we actually have used it twice this week, and the first cycle of spray that we ran through worked fine. No problem. Put the spray in, put the water in, mixed everything together, mm-hmm. pumped it up, and just started spraying the inside of the house. Everything worked fine. Finished that whole cycle, emptied it, rinsed it out like you're supposed to, ran a little water through the hose, through the sprayer hose. And anyway, mixed up a second batch, and the pump that pumps up the pressure would not work. In other words, you'd sit there and pump it, and nothing. Hmm. No pressure, no nothing.
Handle just move up and down, and no, you're exterminating your own house.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
You're doing your own extermination. Okay.
But you could use it for a weed killer out in your yard. You can use them for a lot of different applications.
We use it for the pressure washer. You can't put bleach in the pressure washer. You can't put chlorine bleach in the pressure washer.
Okay.
So we use the pump sprayer to spray some bleach and then rinse it with the pressure washer.
Ah.
So that's what ours is for. Anyway,
that makes sense.
Go ahead. Your pump wouldn't work.
Anyway, the pump wouldn't work. And in fact, you were talking about pulling the pump up and down. That was one of the symptoms of it, is that the pump was real hard, in fact, to pull up.
Okay.
So I said, man, this is kind of strange. I might give it a shot of oil here. You know, that shot of WD-40 or oil will fix anything, right?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Most of the time.
Wrong. Because, I pulled the plunger handle up and oiled it. And It made it easy to pump up and down, but it sure didn't fix it. It was worse.
There's a rubber gasket in there, right?
That was the next thing I was coming to. There is a rubber gasket on the bottom of the pump that I actually had taken off, that the hardware, our local friendly hardware folks told me that I might could buy a new one down there. Mm-hmm. And that's the next thing I'm going to try, is buying another gasket and seeing if that'll fix the problem. But I don't know.
There's a gasket that goes on the actual pump handle that folds one way when you pull it up and the other way when you push it down. Isn't that?
I don't know. That's the gasket. I only have found one on the bottom of the pump. And that was my question, is there another? I guess I actually probably need to try to take the whole pump apart. I don't have anything to lose at this point.
Because it ain't working.
No,
it ain't
working
anyway. So you're thinking it may be leaking air around the bottom of the pump, which you can take the whole pump off, right?
Oh, yeah. I've already taken the whole pump off.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, is that it may be leaking around, or it could be leaking around the top,
okay,
where the plunger handle goes down into the pump.
Okay. So you pull it up, and it sucks air in, and then it pushes that air into the tank and pressurizes the tank. But there's a gasket that folds, but that's around the actual pump handle that's in the stem there, that moves up and down, isn't there?
Yeah, and that's the one I wondered if I messed up when I oiled it.
Well, I don't know how you'd mess it up when you oiled it.
I don't either. But I know.
Well, I'll be darned. How long have you had this pump sprayer, Donald?
Oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And haven't used it a lot, really.
Yeah.
Haven't. You know, that's one of the things you haven't stored, and you don't hardly ever use it.
But they're cheap.
But they're cheap.
I mean, they don't cost much money.
Yeah.
And you probably, I bet you can buy a pump that'll go on it. I bet you can go to Walmart or someplace and buy another pump
That may be a deal. That if the gasket, the next thing I'm going to try is the gasket from the local hardware store because they've got it. I just got to take the old one down there. You know how that goes. And get
well, you've
the
already
gasket.
Called him.
And if it doesn't, I already called him. If that doesn't work, that'll be the next deal. Either try to get a pump or just get a new. You know, you couldn't afford to spend much because you can get a new sprayer for, what, $17 or $19?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. $19.95 will buy you a nice 2 gallon sprayer that'll do anything you want to do.
That's right.
Is that what that is, 2 gallons?
Yeah, it'll hold up 2 gallons.
Will it do your entire house?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Oh, it will?
Oh, yeah. Because we mixed a gallon the first time.
Tom
and did the whole house with 1 gallon inside now, I'm talking
My
about.
My goodness.
And had a little left.
How do you know what to buy?
I don't know. We were after fleas. So we specifically bought some stuff for fleas and two little bottles. One bottle you put in and then the other bottle is supposed to kill the flea eggs or something. And you mix those two together with a gallon of water.
Right. You've got a dog now, don't you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
You got a dog. You know, the best thing that I've ever found was this stuff that you rub on the back of their neck and you do it for 3 months and the cycle is 3 months. And once you've done it 3 months, if you keep doing it, you won't have any fleas.
So you're saying you do this for 3 months and then stop?
Nope. You have to keep...
You do it every month.
You do it every month.
Is it Frontline?
That's one of them.
And
if you'll do that religiously, you won't cause... Because it doesn't kill fleas, it just kills flea eggs. So there'll be no more fleas born. Your dog will hatch no more fleas.
We need to talk about that after the show.
We'll talk about it next week. So we'll do the show off the show.
Well, I'm using two different types on my dogs. I've got one that's prescription, and that's the baby doll.
Yeah.
And the new puppy is on this little thing. I just bought it, Brookshire Brothers, I believe. And you put it between her shoulder blades and go back. And
rub it in a little bit and go on. It stinks, but you can go wash your hands. I'm sure we're using the prescription stuff, knowing my wife. She wouldn't go to...
You take your dog to the same vet I carried mine to.
The guy out on North 69?
Yes, 69? Because I got mad at the other folks down here.
I like Dr. Youngman. He's kind of a strange dude, but I like him. He's I see him all the time in different places. We got to go, don't we?
Yeah.
Thanks, Don Shaw.
Okay.
Don't quit me now. I can't afford to lose
Not yet.
Tom Houston, bless your heart. Thank you, sir, for coming.
Enjoyed it.
See you next week. Thank you much for listening. I'm Phil Parse. He said the blind man. You pick up his hammer and saw.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.